Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jim. We love you and appreciate you. And he'll be back at the end of the service to sing also this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, and we're going to read it a couple places this morning. Is it okay to read out of the Bible this morning? Just checking. I thought maybe it might be all right, but it is good to read out of the Bible. Amen. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll just turn to Psalms 133, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture out of Deuteronomy 28 and then come over to Psalms 133. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I began a series on commanded blessing. And we talked about commanded blessing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in review of last week this morning, but I do want to get in your spirit. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a powerful passage of Scripture. And it's the blessings of God that come with obedience. And what God did in Deuteronomy 28, He gave the children of Israel some instruction. And He said, if you are obedient to abide by these promises that are listed here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, then there will be a blessing that comes on you. But it's not just a blessing. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy 28 says it like this. It says, and the Lord will command a blessing to come on your storehouse and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And then He said this in verse 9. He said, I will establish you. And it means this. It says that the blessing of God will be so much on you that everything you do, the hand of God will be on you. In other words, it's not just a blessing. It's not singular where God just gives you a single blessing. It is a commanded blessing. In other words, it goes with you where you go. When you go in and when you come out, God will be with you. When your enemy comes against you one way, He said He'll flee from you six ways. It said you'll be blessed in the city and you'll be blessed in the field. And everywhere you go and everywhere and everything you touch and everyone who's connected to you will be blessed because you're blessed. How many are thankful that the blessing of God can be so much on your life that everyone that comes in contact with you can be blessed also because they know you? And so there's an obedience we can walk in that commands the blessing of God, that commands God's blessing in our life, that commands the blessing of God. The idea that our obedience and letting the order of God work in our life has positioned us to continually be under the covering of the blessing of God. In other words, you could wake up every day with the blessing of God on your life. You could wake up every morning and put your head on the pillow every night, and where you're just not encountering blessing, you're walking in blessing. And God wants us to get to the place as a church and as a people where the commanded blessing of God is on our life and everywhere we go. The Bible said, He said in Deuteronomy 28, everyone will see and recognize that the hand of God is on your life. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I want God's hand to be on my life and on me in everything I set my hand to do. And so it's a commanded blessing. And we talked about the power of that. And we understood that, first of all, before the commanded blessing can be released in our life, we have to understand the difference between ownership and stewardship. Right? And God, through the Old Testament, gave the children of Israel opportunity to show God's ownership over their life. He said this in Leviticus 23. He said, I will give you land and cattle, and I will bless you, but you have to understand that the tenth of everything you have belongs to me. And God said, if you'll give me a tenth, you'll own it all. If you give me a tenth, you'll never be without. You give me a tenth, I'll touch everything in your life. And God said, the tenth is just to recognize that God has ownership over our life. But the rest He gives us the stewards. And so understanding the difference between ownership and stewardship. It's amazing. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and He put the tree in the garden. He said, now you can eat of everything in the garden but that tree. That tree belongs to me. And their obedience to that was determined on how they would be blessed. And God will always put something within your reach that belongs to Him to prove whether or not you understand whether God is the ownership of it or whether you are the ownership of it. And so we talked about the differences between ownership and stewardship. And so there's a commanded blessing that comes on our life when we give to God what's God's. And then we steward and allow us, God allows us to steward over the best. Listen, folks, God owns it all. It's all His. It doesn't matter what CNN says, it's God's. It doesn't matter what anyone else says, it all belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. He said in Haggai 2, He said, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. Everything in the earth belongs to me. It belongs to God. And so it's His, but He allows us to have it. And then when God brings stewardship in our life, we learn that stewardship. And when we're faithful in that stewardship, there is a commanded blessing that comes upon our life. There's an everyday blessing that we walk in that comes in our life when we begin to understand the difference between ownership and stewardship. Everybody, y'all think that the tithe, and you, I don't talk a whole lot about money, but y'all think that when I talk about tithe, it's about getting your money. Let me tell you, God doesn't need your money. If He owns it all, it's His anyway. What God's trying to do is get you into blessing. He's trying to get you into the avenue to where you recognize there's something that belongs to Him. And when you honor that, God will honor you. He's trying to get blessing to your life. And so the blessing of God. We talked about the commanded blessing of God. I love what that word command means. It's an interesting word because it means to bring into order. Not just to bring into order, it means to bring into order in the way. It means to appoint our divine act, a divine act. In other words, when a God commands something to happen, when God says it, there's no negotiating with it. It's the same word that is used in Genesis when God created the heavens and the earth. When God was doing creation, the Bible said, and God said, He commanded. How many know light didn't argue with God? Darkness didn't argue with God. How many know the creation didn't argue with God? The moon didn't argue with God. The sun didn't argue with God. When God said it, He gave them their boundaries, and that boundaries are fixed. They're fixed because God commanded them to be fixed. It means to bring order. It means to ordain. It means a divine act. And the commanded blessing of God on your life is a divine act. It's an act when God divinely puts His hand on your life and does for you what you cannot do for yourself. How many are thankful for the commanded blessing of God in our life? But it comes when we understand stewardship and we understand ownership. But we also have to understand that when we begin to look at this and we begin to see this, we have to understand the commanded blessing also comes in two other ways. Number one, we have to understand covering. We have to understand God's covering and we have to understand God's order. God has covering and He has order. And to understand the commanded blessing on our life for God, for us to continue to walk in His blessing, we must understand what covering and order is. Order in our life. God puts order in our life so that God can bring things into our life. He orders our life so that we understand, that we learn that God brings order into our life so that blessing can come out of the order that God brings into our life. How many know God's a God of order? When God created the earth in 6 days and 7 days, on the sixth day, He created man. When man came into the scene, when God made him, there was already order on the earth. It was perfect. God had ordered it. And then the next day, the seventh day, was the day of rest. Is that not right? But then it said at the end of that verse, not only was it the Sabbath and the day of rest, but it said, and God blessed that day. And the principle is that God created man. When He created man, He brought him into a world that was in order. And the next day, after He came into a world of order, God let him step into a day that was blessed. It's an Old Testament principle that when we bring order to our lives, there's blessing that follows the order of God in our life. and order and covering in our life. The thing is that some of us in church folks understand that because some of us, the way some of us were raised, if the Spirit begins to move and begins to move, all of a sudden we don't think that the Spirit of God honors order. I'm here to tell you, God is all about order. Everything God does is in order. Matter of fact, in order for the Spirit of God to begin to move, there must be order. There must be order in the house for our God to honor it. And the blessing, commanded blessing of God will come in our lives when we learn the covering of God in our life and we learn order in our life. And the reason some Christians have struggled is because their hearts are with God, but their life is out of order. And they're wondering why God cannot bless them. And the truth is, it's not that God doesn't want to bless you. He's just waiting for you to bring order to your life so that when order comes, all of a sudden, the blessing of God can follow the order of God in your life. And so there's two things that God wants to reveal to us about the commanded blessing this morning. And over in Psalms 133, I want us to read that passage of Scripture this morning and a couple of others. Psalms 133, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head." It says, "Running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing." Say command. Command. "There God commanded the blessing and life forevermore." What is he saying? God is giving us a psalm. It's a picture of covering and order. He is showing that commanded blessing not only comes in obedience, and when we recognize stewardship and ownership, as in Deuteronomy 28, but this psalm is about order and covering. It's about order. God says, when things are ordered right, then I will command a blessing to come upon your life. He's showing us here the order at which God uses. Now, I'm not going to go into the psalm and all the typology that is here with Aaron and the dew on Hermon and Mount Zion and all of that. But here's the principle that I want us to understand today. Turn over just a couple of pages over to Psalms 140 and verse 7. Psalms 140 and verse 7. This is what it says. "O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle." You have covered my head in the day of battle. Now flip back over to Numbers chapter 19. I want to read a passage there. I am going somewhere this morning. Hang with me. Numbers chapter 19. And beginning in verse 15, it says this: "And every open vessel which has no cover fastens on it is unclean." In other words, in Deuteronomy, it's the picture of vessels that had no cover. He said that you cover my head with oil. This psalm is a psalm of covering. The first thing we have to recognize when we begin to talk about the commanded blessing of God is we have to understand the power of covering. God's covering in our life. He covers our head in the day of battle, the Scripture says. There's a picture here in Psalms 133 of the anointing of God that came upon Aaron. It's a picture of covering. It's a picture of the hand of God. It's a picture of God's covering over our life. Now, here's the thing. I told you a couple of weeks ago that when you understand the commanded blessing of God, how many know there's no place you could be in life where God cannot bring you out? How many know that you may be in a trial, but if you know the commanded blessing of God is on your life, you know that trial's not going to last long. How many know that if you're in a difficult spot, or if you're in a place that you've never been before, and all of a sudden you got financial trouble, or you're battling this, or you're battling that, but if you have an understanding that the command blessing of God is on your life, you know God has an answer for you. You know God's going to bring you out. You know that God is going to be there and make a way where there may not seem to be a way. Your marriage is in trouble and the commanded blessing of God is on your life. God will work it out. God will fix it. There's nowhere that God cannot reach our lives. How many know when the devil knocks you down and you've been knocked down, you know that you can take the devil's best hit and still get up and know the commanded blessing of God is on your life. And so, it's interesting. I've seen people for years that I pastored, good people who have not survived some of the obstacles in their life, you know, and it's not because they have a bad heart. Matter of fact, they have good hearts. It's because their head was uncovered. It's because their thinking wasn't where their heart was. And a lot of times we come into salvation and God changes our heart. We ask Christ into our life and He changes our heart. But what happens is we don't allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to cover our life and to cover our mind. So we have a heart that's renewed, but a mind that's not. And what happens is our heart in the day of battle, our heart wants to go to the right place, but our mind won't let us go there because we've never allowed God to renew it. And so we're always reverting back to the same old life instead of letting God renew our minds. In other words, the faith was in the heart. The faith was in their heart and wanted to take them to another level, but their mind was not renewed. In other words, many times their heart can move them towards God, but their mind won't let their heart get there because they won't believe what God believes for them, and they refuse to change the way that they think. See, the Lordship of Jesus Christ is a covering for our life. He didn't come just to bring salvation for you and me, but He came to renew our mind. And not only renew our mind, but when He renews our mind, He has covered our head. The Lordship of Jesus is a covering for our lives. When we walk according to the Word of God, when the Word of God becomes our plumb line, what begins to happen is there's obedience that comes in our life, and through that Lordship, we line up with God. And when we line up with God, our head is covered in the day of battle. And the problem is many Christians' hearts are good, but when they come to the day of battle, they've got old man thinking instead of new man thinking, and they falter in the middle of the battle because they've not covered their head with the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It said He poured the oil on their head, not their hearts. The oil was not pulled on their hearts. In other words, their heart was right, but everything else was out of order. And when people come into the day of battle, if their head is not covered, and when I say covering and I talk about oil, that's speaking of the covering of the Lord. It's Lordship. It's Christ being first. It's Christ being first in our life. And what happens is when He's not first, we go into battles and we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we have a hard time getting victory over certain things. We wonder why our finances struggle, our marriages struggle. And the reason is, it's not because our heart doesn't have good intention, but we've never allowed the Lord through His Lordship to cover our heads. We got to think like God. We got to allow the kingdom of God to come into our minds so that we think like Him. You know, no greater example of this is found than in David. David was in the sheep field tending sheep. And all of a sudden, you all know the story. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. Samuel comes, and when Samuel comes, what does he do? He goes through all those brothers. He's looking for the next king. And what does he do? He anoints the head of David. He said, "This is the next king." He said, "This is the next king. This is the one that's going to rule over Israel." And he anoints his head with oil. And then what happens with David? two things happen. They send him to play music for Saul, who was crazy. Saul stood there as David played for him, played his harp to soothe the demons that were tormenting Saul. Here, the next king of Israel is playing the harp for the one who God has taken his hand off of. But David, God had his hand on David, but David learned and understood what covering was. He understood that he had been anointed, but he also understood that in covering, we also have to understand God's delegated authority for our life. And here David is the king, and then his father sends him back out to the sheep field. Now some of you would have thought that David would have turned and said, hey, was you not there at the anointing service? Don't you know I'm the next king? Don't you know that I've been anointed? I don't have to work in the sheep field anymore. That's not what David did. David understood that the covering that was over his life was God's hand on his life. That hand of God that was on his life, that covering that was over him was to anoint him to be an accomplished, to accomplish what God had called him to do. And David stepped out into the sheep field. But guess what? It was there that David learned how to kill the lion and the bear. It was there that God taught David. Most of the Psalms were written while David was in the sheep field. Most of the Psalms were written. David learned how to fight and battle there in that shepherd's field. Why? Because there was a time his head became covered and he understood there was a greater calling on his life than just tending sheep. And so tending sheep he was able to do for a short time because he knew the time would come when God would call him out of that into something greater. But he knew that he couldn't create it. He had to wait for God to do it. There was a contentment that came in David. He knew that God was the one that promoted him. God was the one that would take him to the next level. God was the one that would open the doors for him and open opportunity for him. We have to understand the lordship of Jesus Christ when God covers our head and puts a destiny in our life. We have to understand we're not the ones in control. God's the one that's in control. He's the one that's got to open doors. He's the one that's got to do battle for us. He's the one that's got to help us walk through it. All of a sudden, David gets a sign that there's a battle and he shows up. To make a long story short, he gets there and Saul wants him to wear his armor. Saul wants him to wear his armor. Now the problem with that is that we sometimes, people want us to be just like them. Want to try to make us into the mold that they are. And we think that our calling should be their calling. And what happened was that Saul didn't understand that David had already been covered his hand. God had already anointed him as king. David didn't need his armor because God was putting an armor on him. God was putting an anointing on him. And so he gets down into the field and David gets into battle and he gets into the midst of the battle. And this is what made David different. David said when Goliath stood out there and intimidated the children of Israel, you know why the children of Israel didn't fight? Because they didn't have no covering. Saul had already been removed as king. He just held the position. And there was no confidence in the army because they had no covering. They had no leader. They had nobody they felt was covering them. And so they became stagnant and allowed the enemy to intimidate them. When you don't allow God to bring covering in your life, what happens is you become intimidated by the enemy because you do not know what your source or where your victory comes from. But David said, hey, I didn't trust in Saul. Saul's not the one that Goliath is coming after. Goliath is coming after and intimidating God. He's mocking God. So David gets down in the midst of that battle. And as he's in the midst of that battle, you all know the story. But this is what made David different. He said it like this. He said, the same God that delivered the lion and the bear into my hands is the same God that will deliver you into our hands. In other words, he understood his covering, which was God. He understood his calling came from God. He understood his obedience. God recognized that in an anointing that was on his life. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't his physical prowess. It wasn't that David could throw rocks better than anybody else. It was the fact that David understood that end while he was going into battle, God had covered his head. And the truth is, it's a great picture of lordship. The commanded blessing of God will follow you in the battle when you have the Lord as Lord of your life. You can fight any battle when He's in charge, when He's in command, when He's ruling your life. It doesn't matter what storm you walk into. If He's Lord of your life, He will give you the strength to battle and to come through on the other side. That's the commanded blessing of God. It's found in lordship. You know, I mentioned to you earlier that we're living in a generation that lacks legitimacy. I was just talking to a friend that was asked to come over to South Africa and preach. And there was a bunch of pastors that were there, or so-called pastors. But all of them were walking around and they all had titles. And he's an apostle and he's a prophet and they're all walking around with all these titles and all of these different types of distinctions and they're this and they walking around and acting like there's an anointing on their life, but all they've got is like, you know, a Facebook page. But they've never ministered anywhere. But they're all prophets, apostles and prophets. They're all walking with titles. And the fact is, it was just fake. There's no legitimacy behind it. They didn't understand what an apostle and what a prophet was. They just started kinging themselves, titling themselves. And what happens is sometimes we want a title more than we want God. Sometimes we want a position more than we want God. Sometimes we want to be out front and we want to be recognized more than we want God. But we have to be like David and understand that when we walk in a commanded blessing, if Lord is Lord of our life, God will open the doors. God will bring the titles. God will give the positions. God will give you and elevate you and show you. You don't have to elevate yourself. God will do it Himself. But we have a generation that wants legitimacy so strong and wants leader being recognized so strong, they're willing to fake and call themselves something God has never called them. The truth is, we have a lot of people running around without their head covered. What did it say in Numbers 19? It said, a vessel that is not covered is what? Is unclean. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? A vessel that's uncovered is not clean. A vessel that does not have the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, you're contaminated. You're not clean. If you don't understand spiritual authority in your life, if you don't understand how to come under authority and delegated authority, you'll always struggle with what God has for you because you'll always mentally be contaminated because you won't understand the principle of covering and the principle of commanded blessing. You'll always struggle. You'll go from one battle to the next battle to the next battle. But God said that. What did he say in Corinthians 4:7? This treasure we have in earthen vessels, the excellence of the power of God in all of us. In other words, we're earthen vessels. And by our obedience to God, He fills us with the presence of God. He fills us with the excellency of who He is in our lives. And we're able to serve Him. And He has covered us because we are vessels that have been set aside and have become and been covered. Why did they drink out of vessels that were uncovered? I'll tell you why. Because the environment could have contaminated the vessel. You don't drink from unclean vessels. Uncovered vessels. In those days, the environment could have contaminated. And I want to tell you, we live in a day when everybody drinks from everything. I'm here to tell you, you'll listen to every preacher, you'll listen to everything that comes on TV and everything that comes down the pike. You'll believe everything that's said, and you won't realize where they come from. Listen, you know how many calls I get a week of people that want to come preach? How many calls I get a week of people that want to come and want us to bless them? And the first thing I ask them, I say, well, who's your pastor? Well, I've been on my own for 20 years. Your head's uncovered. Talk to you later. No, I'm serious. Because if we never learn how to come under the covering of God and God's covering, there never will be an anointing on your life. You say, well, I've got my own vision. No. God don't work that way. God don't just give you your own vision. God always attaches our vision corporately. He always attaches our vision to covering. He always attaches our vision to those He places in our life who can come in agreement with us about our vision. The problem is we got so many lone rangers out there doing whatever they want to do, and their head is uncovered, and they wonder why they can't stand in the day of battle. It's because their head is uncovered. I want to tell you, we all have to answer to somebody. We all have to give an account to somebody. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ, listen, stop drinking from contaminated vessels. You just get sick when you drink from contaminated vessels. Y'all hearing me this morning? Woo. Just because you're sitting in a seat in the church doesn't mean you're covered. Some of you sit in here and you hear the Word of God week after week after week, but you refuse to allow the Word of God to change you and to change the way you think and to change the way that you look at it. You sing and you're happy and you have a good heart, but your head is uncovered. And when the day of battle comes, you can't stand, because what happens is God's tried to move you for years. God's trying to work things out of you for years, but you stubbornly sit back and ignore what God's trying to do, and you wonder why you go from battle to battle to battle. It's time that the church begins to allow God to cover them and to cover our heads. And so when we understand covering, there's a commanded blessing that is on our life. That went over well. On to the next one. Number two, not only does God bring a commanded blessing when there's covering, but God brings a commanded blessing in order. If you want God to bless something first, you have to put it in order. God is not going to put His hand on something in your life that's out of order. God's not going to give you a church if your marriage is a mess. Okay, all right. God's not going to put you in ministry when you can't pay your bills and you won't pay your bills. You're going to tell somebody about Jesus, but you ain't going to pay your bills. Huh? They got you in bankruptcy court every week and you're telling the judge about Jesus. The truth is, before the anointing of God can come on our lives to do what He's called us to do, there has to be order in our lives. There has to be order. There has to be order in every area. There has to be order in our lives. There has to be order in our church. There has to be order in every area of our life. Listen, I know people struggle. Listen, don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not saying that people don't struggle financially. What I am saying is this, is I'm saying that God has an order for our life, and that we cannot jump into the spiritual until first God delivers us from the natural. And I could have good hearts, but our mind refuses what the Word of God says to do, and we get ourselves in places in trouble, and we don't want to change. We become bullheaded when God puts His finger on our life. Please don't misunderstand me. I say it with the greatest of heart. Listen, God does not bless chaos. But how many know God can come in the midst of chaos and speak to that chaos, and that chaos can come under subjection to the Word of God? I want to tell you, sometimes we surround ourselves by disobedience, and disobedience, we create chaos in our life and dysfunction in our life and disorder in our life. And the blessing can't get to you because you have given place to the devil. The devil, chaos. See, here's what's interesting. That's why the message of excellence is important to the body of Christ and to the church. Because excellence has a lot to do with our competency. People who are out of order. You can't have people who don't have order in their life lead something. You know why? Because if your life is out of order and we put you in charge of something and you've got chaos all over your life, when you get, you'll bring chaos into that thing. You'll bring that drama into whatever you're doing. You'll bring that drama into whatever you're trying to do. If there's not order in your life, people say, well, I want to be in charge of this. But you can't. Oh, my. The problem is God is wanting to bring order into our life. Chaos short circuits the blessing of God. What happens is when we don't have order in our life, it gets the blessing of God gets short circuited in our life. And God wants to put our lives in order. Listen, I'm not just preaching to you this morning. God has shown these things to me. I wrestled with God about the very things in my life that have been undisciplined, or the very things in my life that has been out of order. And what happens when lives are out of order, the church is out of order. And when the church is out of order, there's no blessing on the church. And when there's no blessing on the church, then we can't do anything for God. But I want to tell you that if we'll begin to line our lives up with the order of God and line our lives up with covering, all of a sudden the blessing of God will come upon not only our lives, but come upon the church, and God's hand will be with us, and there'll be nothing we can't do. Hallelujah. God wants order. I want to tell you, I've seen over the years too many Christians using Christianity as an excuse to be lazy. Do things halfway. Not keeping your word. Not doing the job that God's called you to do and doing it halfway. Letting somebody else come behind you and clean up the mess that you didn't do, that you said you were going to do. Listen to me this morning. I want to tell you, folks, we have to move into a place to where we're serious about what we do for God. My God, if you're going to work in the nursery, be the best nursery worker you could be. Do the job that God's called you to do. If you're going to work with children's church, or if you're going to volunteer, or whatever you're going to do, you can't just do it halfway and just say, well, you know, it's a Christian. No, you can't do that on your job. You know why? You'll get a pink slip. Okay. Not having order. Not having order. Just going doing what you want to do. People jumping in and doing something nobody called them or asked them to do. Well, what are you doing that for? Because I want to. Well, who said you could do that? Well, nobody said you could do it. You're just doing it because that's what I want to do. That's what you say to God. I'm just going to do what I want to do. That's why when you walk into the day of battle, your head is uncovered. That's why you struggle, because you've never learned how to bring order to your life and order to your walk with God. I know this is a tough message. I know I'm not going to get a bunch of cards and letters this week telling me what a great pastor I am. But here, I want to tell you something. If it's not in order, God won't bless it. Let me tell you, I've pastored people, I've corrected them, or I've asked them to do something. I've had to spend 6 months counseling them because they got offended because I asked them to do something or asked them to do something over because they didn't do it right the first time. All right, that's right. I ain't afraid. Because the truth is, we've done everything in the church halfway. We've done it halfway. The world has got all of the excellence, and we look at the world, and everybody in the world's going, wow, isn't that amazing? Wow, isn't that amazing? And we come to church, and we do it halfway, and our parking lots look horrible, and our bathrooms are all tore up, and nobody does anything right. Nobody walks with excellence. Nobody submits themselves to nobody, and all of a sudden, the fussing and fighting and chaos everywhere. But I'm here to tell you, there is a commanded blessing that'll come on some people that understand the covering of God and understand what order is. Let me tell you something. You want to know the nature of something? You want to know the nature of something? Let order touch it. Let order touch it. I know good people, and you have order touch it, and all of a sudden,
it becomes negative. Mm-hmm. Anything that has a negative response to order or structure is not God. Y'all hearing me? Anything that responds negatively to order and structure of the Word of God is not God. Mm-hmm. Well, I got my own thing. Well, you go ahead with your own thing. But when God breathes on it, it's positive. When God breathes on it, it'll work. When God breathes on it, it'll get up. When God breathes on it, it can go through the storm. When God breathes on it, it can change lives. When God breathes on it, it'll be a powerful thing. When God breathes on it, the devil can't come against it. When God breathes on it, they can do anything in the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. And I'm not telling you something I didn't have to learn. I'm not telling you something I didn't have to walk in. I'm not telling you that I'm perfect at it, but I'm here to tell you that I've learned in my life when I've allowed God to bring order to my life, all of a sudden the flourishing of God began to work in the midst of my life. What's out of order in your life? What have you allowed the enemy to tread upon? What have you allowed the enemy to take away from you? What have you allowed the enemy to steal from you? Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you there's a commanded blessing that comes upon covering and order. And the commanded blessing of God can be on our lives if we just understand that He anointeth our head. He covereth our head. Because every vessel that is uncovered is unclean, the Scripture says. I'm not going to think the way I used to think. I'm not going to go back to the way that I used to be. I'm not going to have my heart towards God, but my mind to my old life. I'm not going to have my heart on wanting to obey God, but my mind refusing to be changed by the Word of God. Therefore, let the Word of God renew your mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to bring order to our lives. He wants to bring, He wants to put us in alignment. He wants to lay the plumb line to our lives. Amen. And bring order where there needs to be order. God doesn't bless where there isn't any order. He doesn't bless it. He doesn't put His hand on it. He doesn't put His hand on anything that's out of order. But I believe God wants to bring lordship into our lives. And I believe He wants to bring order into our lives. Let me tell you, what would these companies be like if there wasn't any order? Huh? Rick, what would your company be like if you didn't have order? Right? What would it be like if you didn't have policies? If you didn't have order? If you didn't have structure that gave people boundaries to what God, what was part of your company? What would some of you that own businesses, if you didn't have order? How many of you have employees coming telling you what they're going to do today? How many people you got waiting at your office in the morning just to tell you how late they're going to work? And just tell you how long they, and telling them what you're going to spend your money on? And what, yeah, how many know? But yet, we don't do that in the world, but yet we'll come to church and we think that we don't have to. And we read the Word of God and God tells us something and it's act like we don't believe it. And then we're running around, all of our lives are full. Listen, I know good people. I know good people who never able to walk into the complete blessing of God because they never allowed order in their life. Hallelujah. But I believe God wants to bring order. And when He does, He can bring miracles. When He does, He can move mountains. He can move a city. He can move a church. Stand with me if you would this morning. Jim, would you come?